Yeah.
All right, here's our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
No, not much, fellas. Just listening and enjoying Overdrive.
Well, how would you apply, very different context, very different scenario, this conversation to the Claude Giroux stuff in Philly, where Giroux, I guess, would be considered the Aaron Rodgers of the Flyers, the captain of the team. All he knows is Philly. And Chuck Fletcher, the GM, came out, and I'm paraphrasing, but essentially said his future in Philly is up to him because he's got a no trade, no move. Our interpretation was Fletcher wants to flip him. Philly, they want to maybe throw a grenade into the room. So what should we make of this Giroux story moving forward?
Well, I mean, I look at Claude Giroux as being an obvious trade piece, right? And I think there are many around the game that believe that, you know, he wants to chase the Stanley Cup. You know, he's reached that point, deservedly so, in his career where he can do that. But he's not ready to quite do it yet. So they're buying time until you get into late February, early March. And then you can really analyze the situation. That might be out of respect to his young family. And there are a few other players in the NHL in a similar situation. But, look, I mean, why wouldn't Claude Giroux want to leave and try and win a Stanley Cup? And there's a market for him. So we'll see.
Yeah. No, there's. I mean, he's putting up points. He puts up points every year. And it's just a matter of what the price is. Go ahead, Noodles.
Ed, sorry, I was just going to say, that's the question we were talking about, Dregs, in the 5 o'clock hours. There's a market for him, but you know, it's not like it comes at a cheap price tag. Like, I know he's pending. He makes $8.2 million, and you're gonna have to give up some assets for him. Like, it's, you know, like you say, it's not Arizona that's going to acquire him just to play it out.
No.
Like, it's a contending team or a team that maybe feels that they need him to get over the top, but at what cost to go back? Because it's Philadelphia. Yeah. You know, are you getting a sense that they do want to blow it up a little bit and maybe get picks and prospects back? Or, you know, have you even, I guess, got a pulse on the marketplace for a guy like Giroux?
Not yet. I mean,
yeah,
speculation on Colorado, you know, but again, is that media speculation? But I probably get two or three texts a week saying, hearing Giroux is likely to end up in Colorado. Well, you check on it, and you get the same response from Pat Brisson, the agent, or the Philadelphia Flyers. And it's, look, we're not there yet. We haven't even discussed what he wants to do. And they're very respectful of Giroux and what he is going to want to do. But, you know, your point is well made. You know, Philadelphia, I don't know that they're going to blow it up, but it's pretty obvious based on how poorly things have gone for the Philadelphia Flyers this year, that roster needs attention. So what are you getting in return for Giroux? If you're a team like Colorado, and they seem to have or had depth on defense, you know, maybe you give up a young prospect, you know, whatever else. I mean, you can get creative in how you're going to make it work. I don't think that there'd be an issue with interest, but again, there has to be a balance in what is the ask and whether there's a team that's willing to do it. Because, look, you know, teams do learn lessons from other teams. And with all due respect to Nick Foligno, as an example, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs paid a pretty hefty price to acquire a player that just really wasn't healthy enough to do what he wanted to do in coming into Toronto. Now, I'm not comparing Foligno to Giroux, but it was a move to deepen your team, to give you a bit of an edge, to give you a bit of a boost, and it didn't work out. So whether it's Colorado or another team, you know, Claude Giroux is having an okay season, but it's not like he's setting the world on fire for the Philadelphia Flyers either. So you got to be a little bit careful with an expiring contract like that.
So the Vancouver Canucks have filled out their front office, and yet Jim Rutherford, I think, made the most noise today speaking to the media, where he effectively said, now that we've got everyone in place, changes are coming, things are going to happen, yet they're up against the cap. They're locked in on a lot of these deals, and you know they're out of the playoffs. I don't get the impression like they're loaded with prospects in Vancouver. So what does change look like? What might Rutherford have in mind in Vancouver?
Yeah, you know what, Brian, there's been lots of speculation around the Vancouver Canucks as well. And, you know, names like JT Miller, of course, out there. You know, I had a team ask me earlier this week about Bo Horvat, and that was quickly pushed aside by Vancouver Canucks management. But Jimmy said it best. I mean, you're in a tough spot when you know you need to get better, and you know that you've got to make changes, but you're a cap team. So it's hard to do both. You have to remedy the financial situation and concerns, you know, before you can add pieces that are going to make you better. So I think that they're going to have to be willing to consider a lot of different scenarios, no doubt about it. Take another hard look at their roster, who's a fit, who isn't. You know, what do we have coming? And if we don't have much coming, then maybe we have to restock a little bit here. So there's more renovating going on in Vancouver. But, you know, Jimmy is going to have his hands on the wheel. I mean, with all due respect to Patrick Albin, who was named general manager, you know, in time, is he going to have autonomy? Yeah, of course he will. And he's going to have a big voice as general manager in hockey operations. But, you know, we all know that largely they hired an inexperienced hockey operations department because of the experience of Jim Rutherford. And he's probably got a plan figured out and has probably had dozens of conversations with other managers, other hockey execs about players on that Vancouver lineup that we wouldn't even imagine that they would trade. And I'm not talking about the highest high-end guys like Patterson or Hughes, obviously, but you know, when you have a lot of work to do and you feel like you don't have a whole lot of time to do it, you have to be willing to be aggressive, and Jimmy has always been that way.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, yeah. The other end of the country, I guess, in terms of the NHL, would stop in Montreal, and Dominic Ducharme is done. Stop asking him about Carey Price, doesn't want to get into it. I don't know why he'd want to focus on hockey with the way his team's playing. But,
no kidding.
Price is, I guess, dealt with a setback, and his knee isn't right. And I'm getting to a point where I doubt he's going to play this year. But I'm wondering how that might complicate things in the future.
Yeah.
If you want to deal him, his contract is so massive. His history is so significant, clearly. But I don't know. Do you need to see him play? Do you need to know the medical status of Carey Price before you were even thinking of making a deal with Montreal?
Probably all of the above, Brian. I guess the closest comparison might be Jack Eichel and the deal that was made with the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, it's not like there's a medical procedure, I don't believe, that is going to be exploratory or, you know, be a bit of a chance that Carey Price has to consider. I think it's just more about a longer-term rehab and getting that knee strong enough so that he's comfortable in getting into full-scale practices and then ultimately games. So it's a little bit different, but there's a bit of risk there for sure. I mean, Vegas accepted the risk. They were convinced by the medical people that the procedure that Jack needed to have was going to work, and he'd be able to play this season. And we have no reason to question at this point that Jack Eichel isn't going to be in the lineup for the Golden Knights, and perhaps... And then the sky's the limit for Jack Eichel and the Vegas Golden Knights. So maybe if you're a team that has goaltending woes, you consider that. I honestly think it's a big stretch between now and March 21st. I don't even think management in Montreal is thinking about Carey Price in terms of the trade environment between now and the deadline. I think they'd be happy to get him on the ice, get him playing, get him feeling good about himself, and then revisit it at the end of the season. What do you want to do? You know, are you in for what is going to be a lengthy rebuild, not a small one? Or, you know, do you want us to move you to whatever contenders are interested? But I'd be more surprised if they had that conversation prior to the deadline than after the deadline.
Dregs, it's being reported Aaron Dell just got three games for that hit. What did you make of it?
I mean,
obviously the fallout is, you know, you got young Drake Batherson, who's an all-star for Ottawa, and not going to, looks like terrible. It's a high ankle sprain and going to be out for amount of time here.
Yeah, and that, you know what, I mean, Aaron Dell has a bit of a history. I mean, I'm not gonna throw the guy completely under the bus here. But we saw him do something similar with Mark Stone. Was it last week he had the incident against Nashville?
Nashville,
you know, his wires touch. I mean, he runs hot, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you can keep it in check. It's just in this case, it's unfortunate that a good young player like Drake Batherson, who is having a hell of a year with the Ottawa Senators, is now going to miss an opportunity. And I know he was looking forward to spending time in Vegas and representing the Senators and having some fun with some of the great players that are going to be assembled there. And then you look beyond that. Like, you guys know more than I do about what high ankle sprain means. I mean, how do you know? I mean, you know it's going to be weeks. It could be months before he's back to full steam. So, you know, that is unfortunate. But I could tell as soon as I kind of flipped out my feelers to the people that I trust around the Department of Player Safety, the reaction I got was, yeah, this one is getting to George's office immediately. As soon as you get that, then you can normally take a safe guess there's going to be a hearing, which I think we all felt last night. So then you get into the realm of, okay, injury to Batherson and so on and so on, all the criteria, which I'm sure has already been disclosed in the video by Department of Player Safety. I thought it would be 2 to 3 games, so I'm not surprised by the amount.
Dregs, you talked about, you know, Jimmy and other teams, Montreal, wheeling and dealing. Has there been any, have you heard anything about Toronto and their want or desire, or if they want to upgrade the blue line and who that possibly could be? I know a guy like Klingberg. I don't know if he's out there, but just what kind of avenue or which way they're going to go, or what are you hearing?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely that word out there, that, you know, they want to spend a little bit of attention to the blue line, but, you know, you also want to think bigger picture. When you're looking at the unrestricted free agent guys like Klingberg, you know, Josh Manson doesn't seem to be getting a lot of love out there on the trade market. I don't know. His name for me should be near the top of the list, to be fair.
Well, maybe it's because Anaheim's good and they don't want to move him.
Nah, yeah, but Anaheim knows that they're going to have to make some bold decisions. Now, do you have a conversation with Matson, of course, before you trade him? Yeah, I mean, I think he's entrenched there. Would they like to keep him? Probably. What's the price? All of that stuff. But there are other guys. You know, Benny Sherratt, could you make that work? I've always been a fan of Ben Sherratt. I think he can play the game in so many different ways. I touched on it briefly in insider trading last night. I don't want this to be a headline, but Toronto is among the teams that has at least expressed some interest in Jacob Chychrun. And again, that's not breaking news. You would expect that. Oh, my fire alarm just went off. Yeah.
That's not good. Uh-oh. Can you get out of there? Are you okay, Dregs?
No, I'm okay. But I'm standing as far away from the gas stove as I can be. So it's not my fault. Let's just establish that for the record. I'll keep talking about Chychrun real quickly.
Well, yeah, I don't know if we can pull this off. I mean, maybe you ought to send us a text.
And we'll read it out.
Yeah, we'll read off your text.
Backdraft.
Oh, my. They kick tires. If there's a chance that they can be creative, maybe, but it's unlikely. How's that?
Okay. All right, buddy. Go take care of your thing over there. Take care of your house.
No, I'm kidding. We're all good.
Buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you. There's Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. I didn't really get where these were going. Chychrun, I guess there was maybe a call.
Kicking tires, maybe a call. I mean, we'll see.
I like that idea.
Before his house burnt down, I think he said the Leafs were sniffing around on Chychrun.
Yep. Okay.